Hey guys, it's Kim
and Kiana.
Welcome back to My Lips Aren't Sealed, a podcast created for women where no topic is off limits. Right now, Kiana and I are doing a little series of recording sessions, so we have plenty of content to give you guys. She's in town right now, as I mentioned in last week's episode. She's in San Diego. We're recording. We're having fun. How are you feeling?
I feel great. We're getting shit done, and I'm going to feel very accomplished going into this weekend because, like, after today, all bets are off. Like, you can't rely on me to be a normal person functioning in society, so I feel good about us getting this done.
No, me too. It always feels good to check things off your to-do list, and One of our to-do list items lately has been really whipping out episodes for the podcast so we have the ability later on to create reels for you guys and create more content and keep you guys engaged and excited. So
period.
That's what we're doing. And this weekend's going to be super fun. We didn't talk too much in detail last week, I don't think. Did we? About what we were doing. We don't need to, but I think one of the episodes I did though.
Yeah. I think that you talked about how like we were going to have like almost like a funeral type theme thing, but I don't think that you went into detail about like the specifics of what we were doing.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow we're going to the Safari Park, which if you guys have ever been to San Diego, this is a must. So there's the San Diego Zoo, and then outside of San Diego is the Safari Park where the animals are not in cages. Oh my God. It's so cool. I went years ago. I don't remember too much of the experience, but I remember it being magical. So it's going to be so much fun, and we're both huge animal lovers, so I think it's going to be a blast.
What do you wear to a place like that?
Athleisure.
Okay, cool.
We're dressing comfy and love cute, and it's gonna be a good time. We have a ton of other things planned for this weekend, but by the time this episode comes out, I will have been 30 for over a week,
period,
which is wild. And it's Easter coming up by the time this comes out.
And this is the first time that Easter has been in March in a very long time.
Really?
Supposedly.
Interesting. No, I didn't know that.
Typically the first Sunday of April.
Did your family make a big deal about Easter growing up?
What do you mean by big deal?
Like the egg hunt or maybe going to church. I don't know, like what route you guys took.
Yeah, we were definitely a creaster family. So like it wasn't a huge egg hunt though. Like we sold, like there's people, like some of my friends growing up, they had like $20 bills and their eggs and shit like that. Like that was not, like ours was like literal jelly beans and like that's that on that.
Uh-huh.
And like we didn't have like a gift outside of that. Like, people get like these huge baskets and stuff. Like
yeah,
we were just the egg hunt and then church. I actually was baptized on Easter in eighth grade. So what was that, when I was 13, 15 years ago?
Why later in life?
Because Baptists, you don't get baptized until you're able to like individually declare.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's like not like a communion process or anything like that. It's like you can do it whenever you want.
Yeah. Interesting. I did not know that about
Baptist
you.
Is one of the only religions like where you
wait.
Yeah.
Okay. That's exciting. Well, congrats.
Period.
I think. I don't know what you say to that, but that's very, very cool. My family, we did not go to church for Easter, any holidays, but we did celebrate Easter. We loved it. And growing up, since my parents were divorced, we switched on and off which parent we were at for Easter. But when I was with my mom, she always made it so special for us. Like,
love that.
We did the big Easter hunt and she always had the basket for us. So, and there was always, it was always like little tiny things. It wasn't $20 bills and shit. I don't think a kid needs that. But the Easter egg hunt, I think maybe we had like $1 bills if there even was money, but I don't remember there even being money involved. It was treats.
Right.
Like candy and jelly beans and things.
Did you ever celebrate Passover?
No.
No?
No. We really like steered clear of most of everything.
Okay.
We just kept it very light. But Easter was big and she would, again, create like the huge basket for us. And it was
cute.
So memorable because even like every Easter, I remember waking up so excited to get the basket.
What was it like at your dad's?
My dad's military and they would always have this huge Easter egg hunt at the military base. Mm. And I'm talking like hundreds of kids would go to this thing and they would just throw eggs out in like a field. So it was more like a fucking Hunger Games. Like
I was going to say, it's like, so survival of the fittest.
Yeah. I remember just like, and I remember there being like when I had gotten to maybe seven or eight, there being a little like 3-year-olds like waddling trying to get these eggs, and I'm like move, right? Like, I wanted the eggs, and then my dad being like, let them have the eggs. They're little. And it's like, I'm little too.
At what point are you too old for an Easter egg hunt?
I say, I feel like when we were growing up, we weren't as mature as kids are now. Not that they are mature, but like they don't enjoy their childhood as long as we did. And so I feel like when I was growing up, the last time I remember it being like normal, I would say was like 10, 11.
Yeah.
And then my sister was a little bit older. So like after that, we just stopped. I think now kids probably are over it by like 8.
Well, and I feel like a big part of it too is probably like if you celebrate with like extended family, like cousins and stuff, like how old they are.
Yeah.
Because I know people that like technically they still do scavenger hunts and stuff, and it's just money.
Interesting.
And just like all the older cousins just like fuck around, you know?
One of my favorite memories from Easter though is my mom, we did the egg hunt and everything. But one year she made it seem like the Easter bunny had come and created a scavenger hunt for us to find our baskets.
Aww.
And so she put all these notes around the house. Like the first note we got was like, and I think they were all riddles. So it was like, if you want a treat, where would you go to eat? And so like the next clue would be in the kitchen. And then we go to the kitchen and there'd be another clue. And then we'd go all throughout the whole house and backyard, like trying to find where the baskets were. They were in the shower, which was, I remember that like so clearly, like opening up the shower curtain and being like, oh my God.
That is so pure.
No, it was like the best memory from Easter for me. And yeah, I know we always did like Easter brunch with the grandparents and cousins. Mm-hmm. We'd always go to like our grandparents' favorite restaurant. But definitely, I think when I have kids one day, I would like to make it a big deal for them.
When would you ideally, like at what age would you ideally have kids? I'm just curious. We've never talked about this.
That's a good question. I don't really have like a solid answer. I think obviously a lot depends on who I marry and when I'm ready. But ideally, like I would have them before 35.
Yeah.
Like I just want my kids to be healthy. Yeah. Like that's the most important thing to me. And so I don't want to wait too long just for my own convenience than them have be like come out like unhealthy. It's hard to say though.
The times have changed though. Because I remember if you're over the age of 30, it's considered geriatric. But now
over age 30.
But now it's over age 37.
Okay.
So my mom had a kid at 40.
Yeah, and I see.
And Kennedy's the smartest bitch I know.
Yeah, and you guys are all great. It depends. I mean, I don't want to rush into it just because I feel pressured to.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to like lose time. So we'll chat. Let's chat a little bit more about that later. I have something I want to chat with you about. So today's episode, we are going to be doing an Easter themed episode, but not so much like stories that happen on Easter. I did look up a few on Reddit and I'm like, these are all traumatizing. Like I don't really want to talk about them. It's like I banned my kid from Easter. It was like just, I'm like, this isn't funny to talk about. So I decided to take another approach. So Kiana, when I say the word Easter, give me some words that like you think of when you hear Easter. Like for example,
candy,
bunny,
egg, chocolate,
peeps.
I was gonna say like birds.
Yeah.
Springtime. Chickens, ducks, pastels.
All those things.
Yeah.
Great word choices. So I thought it would be fun, and I already briefed you on this a little bit, but I thought it would be fun to talk about things related to those keywords instead.
Hell yeah.
Just to kind of get us in the mood for Easter.
Okay.
So we're going to be talking about things from Playboy bunnies.
Love.
To Peeps, the candy, to the Willy Wonka chocolate disaster. Have you heard about that
in Winslow?
Yes, we're gonna chat about that more. It's gonna be such a fun episode. I cannot wait. If you guys enjoyed today's episode, please make sure to rate us 5 stars Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Leave that written review on Apple Podcasts. And if you are watching on YouTube, because we were trying our best to get all of our episodes up on YouTube now, make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, and give us that thumbs up. Anyways, anything else we want to prep them on before we jump on in?
I don't think so.
Okay, I'm excited. So I pulled some stories. It's interesting because usually I feel like I use Reddit to find like a lot of our stories.
Yeah.
But I just used good old Google News to find some interesting things for us to talk about. Before I begin, okay, so here are the topics I chose. Bunnies, eggs, and peeps.
Okay.
Let's, oh, and chocolate. So up first we have bunnies. Okay, first let's talk about bunnies. I have a question for you though. Were you as a child scared of the Easter bunny?
Not that I can recall.
No?
I don't think so.
Like, did your parents ever take you to take pictures with the Easter bunny at the mall or anything?
I'm sure, but I don't know if this is like a good thing or not. I don't remember a lot of my childhood.
Same.
So like, maybe they've taken me before. Not that I remember.
The only reason I remember is because I've seen pictures of me screaming bloody murder. And my sister is sitting there like smiling ear to ear. And I'm just like hysterical crying. Any of the people in costumes scared me so bad.
Why?
Who knows? Something from my childhood like I don't remember.
All?
Yeah. Like I didn't. I remember I took a picture with an elephant, like a person in an elephant costume, terrified. Amusement parks, terrifying. Santa Claus, questionable. I don't know what it was. I think I've always been very empathetic and intuitive. And so I wonder if like even me as a child was like, these are just creepy grown men in costumes. Like, get them away from me.
Maybe. Like, maybe you knew that, like, whether it was consciously or subconsciously.
Like, I was like, something's not right here about this whole situation.
Right.
And I was always like, I wasn't afraid of animals. Like, I loved bunnies, cats, dogs. Like, I loved all of those. So I knew something was off. So let us know if you guys were afraid of the bunny, because I definitely was traumatized.
That is so interesting, which reminds me, though, I do think I want to take my dogs to the Easter Bunny.
That would be cute. No, I love that. Okay. So as I mentioned, I'm going to be, instead of talking about Easter itself, we're going to be chatting about things related to Easter. So up first, I have this article. And this is Playboy Mansion related. Okay. So do you follow any of the bunnies still? Or did you watch Girl Next Door growing up in like the early 2000s?
Is that the one with Kendra?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kendra, Holly, and Bridget.
I remember Kendra and Holly.
Go Kendra. Go Kendra. Remember that song? I love them. And I also do love, because Holly is very active today on TikTok.
Really?
Her and Trisha Paytas had like a collab recently where they like hung out and like did like a little like Disney thing. They're cute. Very, very cute. But the reason I wanted to talk about this, one, because bunny, but I was always so fascinated by the whole Playboy bunny situation. We talked last week about tanning and how even like as little girls, we would have the Playboy bunny sticker on our bodies when we would go to tanning booths. Like we thought they were so cool.
Yeah. Like that, to me, like it's not even Barbie that you necessarily get like the like blonde hair tan perfect. It's like, I get that from like Playboy bunnies.
Mm-hmm. And I always wanted to be one. I was like a little hoochie mama and like beginning of, I think middle school, high school, because I watched that show so much. Like my best friend Aspen, me and her, like we learned like the bunny dance. It's like this bunny hop thing that you do. We loved it. So very millennial core, the whole Playboy bunny situation. And now I could not even imagine girls being like into that.
Or even like being supportive of it.
Yeah. Why do you think that we were so interested in it?
I mean, because they had everything. Like they were like technically beautiful. They were like these confident women. I don't know. Like I feel like it was a little bit like,
it was a fairy tale. Like so cool.
Yeah. And like they didn't care what people thought about them. That almost like made the lore even more cool. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. I wasn't really sure either, but it's interesting because I also had like this picture perfect idea of what their living situation was like and what they were like. And I found this article was so interesting because it has direct quotes from Holly. And she's talking about how like the only reason she became a Playboy bunny was because she was homeless. And like living in the mansion was a way that she could get out of paying her bills. She had a place to live for free. But, and this is why I chose to read this article, there were three major rules associated with being a bunny that if you did not comply, you would be kicked out. Do you know what they are?
No.
These are bad. Okay. And the reason the bunnies like Holly and Kendra are coming forward now is because Hugh Hefner passed away. And so now they can say whatever they want, basically. Okay. So one rule was that they had group sex with all the girls living at the mansion. Holly Madison shared with BuzzFeed that it was a quote unquote requirement for living in the mansion. She shared that the act took place every Wednesday and Friday after the club. She added, it was always the same because this is just how he likes to live his life.
Wait, so like they had the same type of sex every Wednesday and Friday?
Yeah, it was group sex and it was the same thing every single week. And you're required to do that with him, with Hugh Hefner. That just gave me the ick. Because let's
how many bunnies are there?
I think, I don't know, maybe like 20, 10 to 20, I imagine, if not more. But let's keep in mind that Hugh Hefner was an old man.
Yeah.
And these girls, like some of them were not even old enough to drink yet. So we're saying it all glamorized on the TV show. Oh my God, they just had to dress up and do photo shoots and go to parties. No, they literally had to fuck this old man to have a place to stay.
But did they, like, did they have to fuck him any other day of the week besides Wednesday or Friday?
It sounds, I mean, I don't know. It's but so it weird. Sounds like just Wednesday. Like, I would dread. I don't know. So overall, I just think that that rule in itself is enough reason for me to not want to be a Playboy Bunny. But again, like, we didn't know that was actually going on behind closed doors. Right.
I think that I'm surprised by the group sex. I'm not surprised by them having to have sex with him, though.
No. By it was any just means. It was just the group sex of it all. Like, you have to be comfortable, like, with other people, too. Because I think people assumed, like, they're getting all this for what?
Right.
You know what I mean? Okay, there's two more rules. So the next rule, there was also a strict curfew for the girls who lived in the mansion. According to Isabella St. James, the girls had to be home by 9 p.m. She shared, Hef didn't want girls to go out and party without him. I suppose he didn't want us to have the opportunity to be unfaithful. Breaking the curfew had consequences, as Jenna Bentley revealed to Daily Mail, that they were made to sleep on the lawn for missing curfews. I didn't read that part yet. What an
9 p.m.
What an abusive, toxic relationship that is. So maybe that's why he had so many parties at his place, but he didn't want to get cheated on.
Damn. And like the amount of things that I'm doing after 9 p.m.
No, literally. Well, even think like, okay, let's take away the fact that he's like an old man. Even if it's just a normal boyfriend that you were dating and he says, you're not allowed to be out after 9 p.m. And if you are, you have to go sleep on the in the backyard. What? That is so toxic. Okay. And then the next rule. The third strict rule was a weekly allowance that the girls had to collect on Fridays. St. James revealed in her memoir, Bunny Tales, Behind Closed Doors at the Playboy Mansion, that Hugh Hefner had a demeaning process of giving the allowance. St. James wrote, we had to go to Hef's room, wait while he picked up all the dog poop off the carpet, and then ask for our allowance. We all hated this process. Hefner would use the allowance-giving process to share criticisms about his girlfriends. According to St. James, the complaints were about the lack of harmony among the girlfriends or their lack of participation in the group sex parties. So, if you didn't like Hugh Hefner now, or then, you definitely should now. And the amount of emotional trauma these women had to heal from after this whole experience. And for what? For what?
Could they leave it on their own accord?
I imagine so. Yeah. But, you know, again, it's like the glitz, the glam. Holly Madison, for example, like, it says that she knew what she would have to do to stay in the Playboy Mansion. But she said they had, like, this celebrity-like life that they wouldn't have had elsewhere.
Right. I wonder how much their allowance was.
I'm so curious, but I'm pretty sure, like, I remember hearing years ago that it wasn't very much. It was just enough for them to buy, like, the essentials. Like, it wasn't this
exorbitant
that I think. Amount of money. Like,
exorbitant?
I don't know. But yeah, it's nuts. And then, yeah, Holly Madison says, she said on the Call Her Daddy podcast, entering the mansion meant that they would have to sleep with Hefner and risk being called a slut. And Madison revealed she had little choice at the time because she couldn't even pay her bills. So respect for those bunnies. It was so glamorized, though. And I, even to this day, like, because one of my friends recently posed for Playboy, I would do it.
I would, too.
Like, that would be so cool to pose for Playboy, especially now that Hef's not around. It's like,
but he has a son.
Yeah.
Did his son not take it over?
I don't know. I imagine he did. He had to have. I don't know. Okay, moving on. Well, first, let us know what your guys' thoughts are. If you have any other tea about the bunnies,
let us know. And if you know anything about their allowance, let us know. Like, I'm so intrigued.
I'm dying to know. Okay, the next bunny, this is only, we're only talking about two bunnies today. The next bunny is Mr. Bad Bunny. Okay. Bad Bunny, did you know this, is suing a fan for copyright infringement over footage from his concert that he posted on YouTube. So it says, unlike clips shared on social media by other concert goers, Madrinal Garone posted high quality videos of full songs, which Bad Bunny argues violate his rights over his live performance, the lawsuits claim. Additionally, the Monaco singer said Madrinal is profiting off his name and music by using footage to attract video views and cash in on ad revenues, according to the lawsuit.
Does Bad Bunny have nothing better to do?
Literally.
It'd be one thing if people are like, I'm actually not going to buy a ticket. I've seen enough on YouTube and said no one ever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're obsessed with Bad Bunny and you want to go to his concert, you're going to go no matter what. No matter. And this is the thing. It's like, even if you go to one Bad Bunny concert. So he's essentially saying if you've seen one, you've seen them all.
Yeah.
That's on you, bud.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That. And also, like, clearly, whoever took this video footage, the YouTuber, was a big enough fan of Bad Bunny to go to his pay to go to his concert and be close enough to get that good of footage. Like, you've just lost a fan.
I wonder how much. Does it say how much he's suing him for?
So it says the rapper notes that after initially filing a takedown claim with YouTube under the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, the platform removed the videos in question. However, Madrinal filed a counterclaim and YouTube restored them, prompting Bad Bunny to file the lawsuit seeking an injunction to prevent Madrinal from sharing any of his content. He's also seeking either $150,000 for each video.
Bad Bunny is, or Madrinal?
Bad Bunny. Or profits made from ad revenues on YouTube.
I hope that he knows that's fucking pennies.
Yeah.
Compared to what he does otherwise.
Well, now
can I'm you like, look up his net worth real quick?
I should. Yeah, let me see.
I would imagine. Let me guess. Okay. Bad Bunny, he's like one of the biggest stars in the world. I would say $142 million.
Puerto Rican rapper Bad Bunny has a net worth of $88 million as of 2022.
Mm.
So let's see right now.
I was going to say he's been on tour since.
Well, now it's saying $40 million. So I don't know what he's doing. He probably lost
$48 million from Madrinal.
Damn it, Madrinal.
Madrinal, son of a bitch.
Again, this is saying $50 million. So definitely he's under $100 million. But I feel like 40 to 88 million is definitely like a big range. So I don't know what he's doing, but clearly he has enough time on his hands to take his fans to court.
Well, and I just think about like empires like that. Like, I mean, I don't feel like Taylor Swift would do that, but for him to do that, criminal. But how many people do you think Bad Bunny has on his team? Like between his like publicist, his assistant, obviously lawyers that mm-hmm. all they do is just fucking sift through the internet and find things like. What do you like? How many people would you say are on his team?
Probably no more than 50.
I was going to guess like 30.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he has a big team. This whole story, though, I just like from a fan's perspective, how disappointing and like
tacky.
It's tacky.
And there's people who can't afford Bad Bunny concerts. Let them watch the fucking YouTube video, dude.
Yeah. And like you think to like stars like Taylor Swift and Justin Bieber, those type of people, they end up releasing their concerts on Netflix or a streaming platform anyways. And I get it. They're getting the money off of it. But in this situation, it's YouTube. This is America. We should be allowed to post whatever we want. And that story like really pissed me off. This is like a new story too.
And you and I both know how little you can make off of YouTube ads.
Yeah. And I get like, I'd be curious to see how many views has actually got, but it's ridiculous. So final thoughts on that. Who do you think is in the right and who do you think is in the wrong?
I think that Bad Bunny, at the end of the day, like Madrinal technically is infringing, but then at the end of the day, it's like, who is Madrinal to Bad Bunny?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But you just ruined what Bad Bunny is to Madrinal.
Yeah.
So I'm on team Madrinal because get a fucking life, dude. Like, you literally one of the biggest stars in the world, and you're picking a fight with someone mm-hmm. who posted a 5-minute video of you. grow up.
Yeah. And
I swear, I think that it, just like the Jenner Kardashian loseriness probably just rubbed off on him.
It's true. They're not still together though, right?
No, no, I don't think so.
Yeah. It's been a while. Okay. Well, moving on from bunnies to eggs. I have one story that's relating to eggs, but it also relates to what we were just talking about earlier. You asked, when do I want to have kids? Okay. That is a question you're allowed to ask because we're friends, but that is a question that should definitely be taken lightly when asking people on the street if you're crowdsourcing. But like that topic, it can be a very sensitive one.
Totally.
And something that reminded me when you said this, eggs leads to egg freezing.
Yeah.
And as women in our later 20s, I'll be 30 when this episode is live, we are in a situation where if we haven't had kids yet, we do have to really think about when we're going to have them, if we're ever going to have them, if we should do something before it's quote unquote too late.
Yep.
And I don't know about you, but I've been targeted ads every now and then about egg freezing, or I've seen the pamphlets or the billboards, or like even I've seen it on TV, people doing it. So this says, on average, the cost of freezing eggs can be anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000 per cycle. More than one cycle may be needed, which can make the total cost $40,000 or more.
And you have to continue to pay rent on the eggs.
Do you know how much that is? I'd be so curious. I have some
friends who have frozen their eggs, and rent can range anywhere from like $90 a month to like $600 a month.
Wow.
Like, I know that one of my friends, she pays, I think, $5,000 a year.
What was her inspiration for getting her eggs frozen, and also did it hurt? Like, did she tell you anything about the process?
A lot of good companies, they have insurance for it. You're so kidding. That's what urged her to do it was, wow, she was getting older, and she was like, my company is literally paying for like 80% of it, I may as well. And they like reimburse for some of the rent or something like that each year, and so like that obviously was like a huge push. The retrieval process, they really want you to like be on your best behavior for like a month leading up to the retrieval. And so I know that she didn't drink for a month leading up to it. And like, you don't have to do that. But to my understanding, it is in, like, it's similar to getting a IUD.
Ugh, which I've heard is very painful.
Yeah. But then like the retrieval process, you just pay rent after that.
That is nuts. Yeah. And was she able to be drugged up at all? Or like,
I don't know. I haven't asked that. I would imagine yes. But yeah, it's a whole ass process. And like a lot of really, like, I think it's impressive now that companies are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't know that my company does that, but it would be interesting to look into because like it can be so fucking expensive.
So expensive. And if you don't mind me asking, how old is your friend?
36.
36. Yeah. Okay. So this says fertility starts to decline from the age of 30 and is greatly reduced after 40 years of age.
Yeah.
Therefore, it is optimum to freeze your eggs in your late 20s. However, freezing eggs at 30 to 35 is also quite common. So I have five years left to figure out.
Yeah, I think my friend froze hers at 34.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Would you ever do that process if it came to it?
Honestly, and I don't think we've ever really talked about this. I would love to have kids because I think a big part of it is like you want to create something with the person that you love so much.
Mm-hmm.
I have only felt the need to want kids one time. That was with my ex.
Yeah.
And I just like, I don't consider myself to have very motherly instincts. And so I don't know that it'd be that much of a priority to me. But that could change. Like, I think that I could find myself like meeting the right person and being like, holy shit, like I want to have something that is both of us.
Yeah.
And that's like what my sister was like. My sister always wanted kids, but she was like, I never wanted to truly like go through the whole entire process of having a child until I knew that I wanted to be with my husband and like have something that was both of ours. And so I don't know. Like, I don't know that I want kids bad enough to where I'd go through the freezing process.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Yeah. I think it does depend also. But it's, can we just rewind? I think you're so motherly.
Really?
Like, obviously there's room for improvement, but no, but you do have natural qualities about yourself that would make you a fantastic mother. So I wouldn't want you to like have that mindset about yourself. So
that's so interesting. I don't think I've ever thought of myself as motherly.
Yeah. Besides the binge drinking and pot smoking. No, I'm just kidding.
Besides binge drinking, the, you know, going on benders of it all, having the worst potty mouth ever, you know, just like those small things.
You will be. I think I would consider it. of course, like I would need to have like the financial means to do so. And it would be a last resort for me because I do want to procreate naturally with somebody I'm in love with. Mm-hmm. I also think we have obviously so many children in the world. So adoption's not out of the question for me either.
Yeah.
So may God figure out what he wants my life to look like. And so be it. Or I'll just have a dog rescue and have them be my children.
Always the opportunity for IVF in the future too.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
My oldest sister, she is late 30s, maybe almost 40. And she did IVF.
Interesting.
And she had a kid last year.
Oh, yay. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, anybody who has been through the family creation process, no matter which route you took, I know that it's extremely hard. Like, neither of us are parents just yet, but we both know people who have been through difficult processes and know yeah. people who are mothers. And we support you. We love you. And we know it's hard. Being a woman is hard.
Yeah.
Can we just talk about that real quick?
I'm going to have a hot take. I think that for me, it's like I would need to have a kid by just like being knocked up because I can't think about it too much. Like, and when I say knocked up, I still mean like I could be married and like we're just like not planning for it. It just happens.
Okay. Interesting.
Like I just don't know that if I plan too much because I'm such a planner and if stuff doesn't work out perfectly, then I'm like, maybe it's not meant to be, you know.
I see that. My best friend who's pregnant, she decided she wanted to have a baby. And within like a month, she got pregnant. I know. So lucky. I'm like, holy cow. Okay. Next thing. We're going to go from eggs to chocolate.
Period.
Eggs to chocolate. So if you guys have not heard yet, there is a Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory experience in Britain.
Glasgow?
Yes.
Glasgow, however the fuck you say it.
Don't know how to say it, but this is being compared to Fyre Festival and the similarities are uncanny. So held in Glasgow, Scotland, the organizers of this event advertised it as an immersive and interactive family experience. The promotional website stated that the experience would have, quote, dreamlike AI generated images. Ticket holders were promised extraordinary props, oversized lollipops, and a paradise of sweet treats. Upon their arrival, they realized that the whole thing was a massive scam. Unfortunately, all they got was a sparsely decorated warehouse. Furthermore, hardly anything in the warehouse resembled Charlie and the Chocolate Factory franchise.
What fucking killed me the most were two things. One was...
You saw the TikToks, right?
Yes. One was like the small-ass banner that didn't even fill the whole wall. Mm. It was like, let's say the wall is like, I don't know, like 30 by 10 or something. Wait, length first. Length, yeah. So 30 by 10. And the banner is, I shit you know, like an 8 by 8. And it's just like in the center of it. And it's like blurry as fuck. Loved that. And I was just like, I guess like the whole like backdrop. Amazing. Love it. And the second one was like the people behind the
unknown,
like, doing the experiments and stuff. And that girl sitting there and she like has like her thin ass eyebrows and her wig on. And she looks like she's literally like out of her mind. And she's just like mixing together things. And she just like isn't even smiling. She's just like.
What was she dressed up as? Because I didn't see that.
She had a brown wig on. And I think she had on like maybe like an Oompa Loompa type costume.
Inspired.
Oompa Loompa influenced for sure. Yeah. But it was, I'm obsessed with it. Can you imagine like your kids are so excited to like show up? They yeah. probably already watched Wonka. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So like they have in their mind like what
their
this is supposed to be like.
Minds. Well, I saw feedback from the parents about why they didn't like call the cops right away or why they didn't really know how to react in the moment. Because they're like, well, we didn't want to scare our kids. So we just like smiled and giggled and like, played along.
Because it's kind of funny. But it can be scary.
But they didn't want to scare their kids. So I wrote a few bullet points. I wrote, no chocolate. Turns out there was no chocolate. Every kid was given like one piece of like hard candy or something. Next bullet point, children scarred. So if you look up on TikTok, these poor kids are like screaming, crying, running. Like they're so scared. And the last thing is, quote, the unknown. So during this whole experience, you know what I'm talking about or no?
No.
Oh my God. Okay. I have the link. But during this whole experience, everything's supposed to be Charlie and the Chocolate Factory inspired. Well, they decided that they were going to make their own character and call him the Unknown. And this was a man or woman with a silver face mask, a blonde bushy wig, and a black cloak hiding behind a stand-up mirror, like a 6-foot-tall mirror on their hands and knees and popping out and scaring children. And the kids are walking by like, what the hell Oh, they got two jelly beans. That was their prize at the end. So the whole thing, traumatizing. If you haven't looked it up yet, please do yourself a favor and look it up.
Poor kids. I just want to know, like, the meetings and, like, the planning leading up to this. Like, who is the event manager?
It had to be a scam. Like, I know for a fact this was a scam. Because they charged $45, I think, a ticket. Or no, somebody said they brought two kids. Anywhere from, like, $25 to $50, okay, for these tickets. And each family, multiple kids, it adds up. And think about the cost that they paid for these props and two jelly beans each. Like, they made bank. They made bank. So look it up on TikTok. It is. And it made headlines everywhere.
I just, like, my thing is, like, if you're going to scam, why would you not do something so much bigger than that?
No. Yeah.
But instead, you're just going to, like, fuck up 1,000 children. Like, I can't. Like, I just, like, feel like there's so many more creative ways you could have gone about this.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, or, like, sign people up for a fucking, like, timeshare or something, you know? But no, they were, like, so specific in what they wanted to execute on. It was, like, no. Like, this had to be someone, like, growing up, they were, like, I'm thinking about, like, the criminal minds of it all. You know, like, watch him, like, he grew up and he's, like, scarred by Willy Wonka, you know? And so then he wants to, like, be, like, this guy who scams people out all these money. He's, like, got it. Willy Wonka themed warehouse. Like, it's just so specific and so absurd. Like, I don't get how he was like, this is how I make my fucking bag, you know?
It is very obscure.
Yeah. And it's like, it seems like it's a one-off. It's like, you should have had, like, it could have been like a series. Like, there's like 10 locations,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, make that fucking bank if you're going to make it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Pop up one
but
day.
But just like
only.
One random ass pop up. I just don't understand.
Well, now that you're putting it like that, it makes me feel like maybe it wasn't a scam. Maybe the person literally is just an idiot.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I do think that it was like just a shitty event manager and someone remote hired this person, was like someone from Glasgow hired this person because they're from there and they wanted to make an experience for children like themselves from 50 years past. And they're like, no, I'm going to hire you. And here's your budget. Get shit done. And that event manager sat around all day playing tic-tac-toe and learning how to retie their shoes 10 times. And then on the last day, like, fuck.
Oh, yeah, I have to do this.
Right. Let me last get this minute 8x8 banner.
Yeah.
And let me hire a couple of my friends that I live with.
And God bless the guy who played Willy Wonka, who is the paid actor. He really tried. Like, you can see, like, the videos. He's, like, really trying to, like, make it a good experience. And, like, at that point.
This is why, like, I can't, like, I could see how it's a scam, but also, like, it should have been on a bigger scale then.
Yeah.
If you're going to go all out, go all the fuck out.
Mm-hmm. Do you know anybody who went to Fyre Festival? I know a few people who did.
I actually, wait. Jenna did.
Yes, that's right. Uh-huh. Oh my God. Yeah,
Jenna did, but I don't know anyone else.
I know a few people from college. They were all like bragging about going on the way there. And I remember like people in the library, you know, a bunch of rich kids in SoCal were talking about going. And I was like, what is that? Like, I didn't even know what it was. I don't even think I had like internet on my phone yet. And looked it up and all the stuff afterwards. Like, they just came back silent. Nobody talked about it.
Well, and let's talk about how the guy who put it all on, he like gets paid to go on like interviews and like panels and shit now. And I'm like,
to talk about Fyre Festival?
Yes. Like, why are we hiring a con artist? Like, he literally is on podcasts weekly talking about this. Like, he gets paid to be brought onto these podcasts and talk about, like, how he went about it and stuff. And he's like, yep, I still owe about $7 million to the government. Like, they take X amount of every check I have. I'm like, this seems backwards. You know what I mean? It's just weird. Like, he is famous.
Well, here's the thing. The fact that he was able to con everybody into Fyre Festival and now he's able to con himself onto people's podcasts and the media, like, good for him.
As I say, honestly, the people who brought him on deserve it. At this point, like, he has showed his colors and they're still like, checks out.
Yeah.
Come on board. And also, wild. Okay, there's this other person who's like a big con artist and damn it. What's his name? Would you mind typing in some keywords as I'm explaining this so we can see if he comes up? Okay, so it's this guy who said that he lived amongst monks for years and now he's a spiritual leader. Like, he has like these, what is it called, whenever people like retreats and shit to teach people mindfulness, and it's all fake. And he's still like, he was one of the headliners.
Is his name Nat Han?
No.
That guy sounds like he might be like legitimate actually.
No.
Should
it's
I
like,
type in, I feel like I need to type in like fake. Or like,
yeah,
scam.
Like say, scam. Yeah. And because he was literally like one of the main guy.
The frat boy spent 6 months as a monk to impress people. OK, I don't know if. Oh, Michael Roach.
this is going to bother me.
American businessman.
I remember I took a screenshot of it somewhere. I feel bad. I'm like, we're just like dragging all these people.
All these monks are like really good people.
Right. I'll follow up about it. But he like essentially was like, and I mastered mindfulness and I mastered like how to blah, 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 blah. And he literally still gets brought on to it's after it's already been a scam. And he still gets brought like at South By. Like I said, he was a headliner. And it's true that he's fake.
Wow. Okay. Weirdly enough, guys, if you Google fake monks, there's a lot or scammer monk. There's a lot of scammer monks out there. YouTube video. Don't trust this monk. Fox 5 confronts panhandler apparently posing as monk. Faux monks are scamming New York's city tourists. Attacked by fake monks. Caught on camera.
And imagine all of these fake ass monks, like these scammer monks are like, fuck, how did that one scammer monk make it and we didn't? You know what I mean? Like, this motherfucker is at South By.
There's a lot.
And now all of these other scammer monks can't even make a dime.
Wait,
you know?
This one was at South By recently?
Yeah, this year.
Well, we'll find it later,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, we'll report back. And I'm sure someone's, like, yelling at the radio right now or, like, at the speakers and be like, Keanu, you're so fucking stupid. His name is XYZ.
Well, so what is he talking about at South By Southwest?
Mindful, like, I don't, like...
Well, he actually is still pushing his agenda.
Yes! Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, there are some people that we are just, they're clowning us, and we're just letting them do it. Like, we're letting them have their way with us, and...
Is it this one? Okay, South by Southwest 2024 schedule. Yogetsu Akasaka, known as the beatboxing monk.
South by has range. Like, no, we did... I actually watched a beatboxing show, so the fact that there's beatboxers and monks, they said, hold my beer. I'm going to have a beatboxing monk.
Last Easter-related topic is not monks. The last Easter-related topic is, actually, it's peeps. Do you know what peeps are?
When's the last time we've had a peep?
I don't know. It's been a few years, I would say. What about you? Did you like peeps growing up? I liked the outside. I liked the crunchy, but then the gooey.
100%. It became too much. I'm like.
Yeah, it was. I like.
Because it's like not a marshmallow.
It's not?
It tastes different.
Okay, well, this says... Do you want to smell like Easter? Peeps body spray now exists. So it says, Easter is coming soon, but you don't have to wait that long to smell like Easter. Peeps body spray is now a thing that exists. Bottles of it have been spotted on shelves at the discount chain Five Below for $5 a piece. People are already reselling them for more than $5 on eBay and Poshmark. They have different colors, pink and yellow. The yellow is, quote, marshmallow scented, and the pink is, quote, strawberries and cream. The yellow one has a yellow peep on the label, but the liquid is blue. So that's confusing.
Peeps just out here said, you know what? I'm going to fucking squeeze as much as I can out of these lemons, and I'm going to try to make lemonade.
Yeah.
And it's Jay Shetty. That's that motherfucker's name. Jay Shetty.
Jay Shetty pretended to be a monk?
Yes! You know Jay Shetty?
Yeah!
Yeah, that's how he built his platform.
You're kidding.
It's by pretending to be a monk, and now he has this, like, wellness brand.
Yeah, I think I followed him because somebody's like, you have to follow Jay Shetty. And so I followed him, and then I, like, something didn't seem right with him, so I unfollowed him.
He's fake.
Wait.
You kept saying all these like names that are like
nice, respectable monks. I'm sorry.
Okay. Nice, respectable monk names. Okay. And Jay Shetty is out here. His name's fucking Jay Shetty for crying out loud.
Yeah, with the, okay.
The wow. Monk who sold an unholy business.
20 hours ago. Oh my gosh, she wasn't making it up, guys. When it comes to the business of influencers, there's no level playing field. As new age influencers go, he is the king, fusing spirituality, its vaguely undefined version, with a drop-a-minute life lesson that tickles the fancy of not just a hashtag-driven Instagram generation, but also a Western audience that laps up the exotica of a, quote, guru. In his outreach, however, Jay Shetty forgot his own truth-seeking mantra, be true to yourself.
Ooh. Period. Who is writing this? They're like, okay. They have been personally victimized by Jay Shetty.
Wow.
Whoever wrote this.
Oh, yeah. So I'll just read the next little bit. It says, a recent Guardian report that accuses life coach Jay Shetty of plagiarism has left many unsurprised. Some of the allegations are not new, yet despite his earlier dubious credentials, he inhabits a rare field celebrity circle, feted and encouraged. Shetty has done everything from officiating Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck's wedding to attending a White House dinner for the Indian PM. He is also the best-selling author of books that give life lessons on finding love while allegedly tweaking his truth. Who keeps a check on influencers and what they peddle? What is the authenticity of books where the source itself is questionable? This seems like a good article. Oh my God, how did I not know?
I know. Like, Jay Shetty is a fucking fraud. And he's still out here at South By. Like, that's what, okay, I think that's what we're missing here. It's like, he was literally at South By 3 days ago. And there's articles being like, he's a fake. And he's just still showing up.
Swagged out.
Yeah, he's still showing up, tightening his tie, getting ready to just like still speak his truth.
Interesting. Oh my God, I cannot wait to do a deep dive on this. Let us know what you guys think about the whole Jay Shetty of it all.
So sorry for the interruption. As soon as I saw the word, I'm like, that's what, because I knew it wasn't like, it wasn't a name that you're like, sounds like a monk.
Wait, what just reminded you of Jay Shetty?
I literally Googled random keywords.
Oh, okay.
I Googled podcast brought this monk guy that is a scammer, but they say no, maybe controversy. Okay. And Jay Shetty showed up. And the next thing says, Jay Shetty ... illness ?
Ooh, mental illness. Interesting. Okay, well, we will leave it at that, guys.
Sorry to derail the peeps of it all.
Oh, yeah.
We should buy some peeps, though. I would love to do a taste test and try the different flavors of peeps.
Flavors. Yeah. Ooh, I like that.
They all taste the same. It's
and
like
also,
Fruit Loops.
Make sure you're surrounding yourself with some real peeps who aren't like Jay Shetty.
Boom. Yeah, Jay Shetty is not a real peep, honestly.
No, he's not a real one.
No.
He probably just sprays himself with
the body spray. I was going to say, he probably is in charge of like the brand that launched into Five Below for peeps. He's in charge of the Willy Wonka experience.
Yes, Jay Shetty. Yes, we will say this on record now.
We're on to you.
We believe that Jay Shetty was behind the Willy Wonka experience.
I said what I said.
Mic drop. On that note, happy Easter, guys. Have so much fun with your family and friends. Funny take on Easter, from Playboy bunnies to Bad Bunny to egg freezing and Jay Shetty in the chocolate factory.
Fae Fetty.
Fake Fetty?
Fae Fetty. Like, he's fake.
Oh, yeah. More like Fae Fetty. We're so stupid. Okay, we need to stop. All right, guys. Have a great rest of your day. Make sure, again, to rate us 5 stars, Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Leave that written review. Give us a thumbs up on YouTube. Leave a comment. And give us any feedback you guys have on Instagram at My Lips Aren't Sealed Podcast. My handle is Kimberly Cobb. And Kiana's, yours is?
Kiana_Milliken.
So hit us up. Let us know your thoughts. Or if you want advice, or if you just want to chat, come say hi. All right, guys. Have a great rest of your day. And we'll chat more next week.
Bye, guys.